Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on WTMR 800 AM, where the master reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. Thank you for joining me today on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father. So today we're going to be talking about a number of things, considering it's today, February 13th, in anticipation of tomorrow, St. Valentine's Day. I wanted to talk about St. Valentine's Day and dating and courtship and share a little bit of my own history and experience with that and some advice for all those people who are planning a big day tomorrow, whether you're going to get engaged or you're going to have a big night out with your spouse or go on a date, or you're looking for a particular gift to give to your loved one, and also a little history about the St. Valentine's Day. But also, I want to tie that in to the upcoming Sunday readings, as we normally do here, you know, to make it practical. We're going to talk about the Sunday readings for Mass and also the Gospel to see what is the difference, why are people blessed and why are people cursed? And could that somehow set people in a different path when they're dating, courting, and in their marriage? So there's a lot to learn, a lot of exciting things to unpack from the scriptures from today, actually, from February 13th, from the book of Genesis, and also from the Gospels. So I hope you stay tuned to find out all these topics that we're going to cover today. And like we usually do, let's start off with the Our Father prayer to bless our program. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before getting to those topics, I wanted to just make some announcements. I thank those who called in or who tuned in or even went to Facebook Live on In His Sign Catholic Radio to see the program, the first Friday program that me and Mike Altshuler has on our Healing Day of Prayer. So for those who didn't get to go and hear us or see us on Facebook Live on In His Sign Catholic Radio, to go on Facebook and look up In His Sign, and you'll be able to see those videos that were posted there. I think it's for the first time or the second time. Now, if you go there, you'll just see my partner, Mike Altshuler there. I wasn't in the studio, but he's there. You can see him, and you can also listen into what the topics were that day. And actually, we actually did a lot of Bible study on that and opened up a lot of topics and issues regarding that. And so you'll hear my voice on that Facebook Live, but you won't see me there, but you'll see Mike there because, again, I didn't go into the studio. As some of you know, I broadcast from Westchester, so I'm not in the studio there in Ardmore. And so you can look that up. Also, if any of you are interested in, you know, seeing me talk in person, I will be scheduled to talk to a women's group at St. Patrick's in Kennett Square on March 29th. It's going to be just a morning retreat. You know, start off with Mass. I think the Mass is at 8. And then I'll have the floor, you know, after that. Actually, there'll be Mass, and then there'll be some continental breakfast at the Ladies of St. Patrick. I think that's the name of the group that is sponsoring me, where I'll be giving a talk regarding the true femininity for a Catholic woman found through the joys and sufferings of our Lord and our Lady. It's a mouthful, but essentially, it's to know one's identity. Here is one's womanhood or femininity through the joys and sufferings of our Lord and our Lady. And that will be on March 29th from 9 to 12. It starts off with Mass, and then there's going to be a continental breakfast. And then I'll have anywhere from like an hour and a half to 2 hours to give a talk. And we're going to have a break, of course, and questions and answers. And so I hope to see and meet any of you there who are interested to go to St. Patrick's and Kennett Square for the Ladies of St. Patrick Women's Group who are sponsoring me. I also gave a recent talk to the men's group here at St. Agnes. It was the Exodus 90 this past January 11th, and it was a full house. Actually, they had to have more people, and they had to open up the capacity to have more people, and we have some walk-ins there where I also talked about the true meaning of masculinity. And then in the past, I gave another talk to the women's group out in Delaware about the Eucharist. So I give a lot of different talks, from my testimony to spiritual warfare to talks on the saints, angels and demons, a lot, because, you know, I was in the field. I helped with officially with the exorcist team in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia from 2018 until I got really sick, and then I couldn't do that. But, you know, I still give a lot of spiritual coaching, spiritual fitness advice to people. And so, you know, that's another thing that I do. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know some of these coming announcements. And that, you know, I give this first Friday a day of prayer on every first Friday here in His Son with Mike Altshuler. So I hope you join us. Besides me speaking here on as host on every Thursday from 5 to 6. So let's get to today's program. You know, tomorrow is a big day. Besides it being St. Valentine's Day, we have that world champion Philadelphia Eagles who, you know, they're going to have the big parade. I wish I can go. It looks like it's going to be a big one, starting from the stadium going up to the rocky stairs of the museum. It's going to be jam-packed, and I wish the Eagles well. I love the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know if I said it on this program or another program. I had this intuition that they were going to have this big blowout, and the people that I said it to, they just couldn't believe me. So I thought I was crazy. I was thinking it was going to be almost double whatever Kansas City would score, and I even mentioned that it was going to be like in the 40s to 20s of all things, and here it happened to be that. Not that I have any spiritual insight or, you know, any professional acumen in predicting or sport. I just happen to have this feeling, because, you know, when you think about it, when people say things about somebody and they put them down, from, you know, Coach Sirianni and to Jalen Hurts, that people like this that are high caliber characters, you can see that. And I think they may be Catholics, and look at Saquon too. I think they're Catholics. I'll see a few of these players from the Eagles making the sign of the cross. I'm venturing to say even what you call our receivers, A.J. Brown. I don't know about Devontae Smith, but they might be. I don't know. I don't know if anybody can confirm that. But they were interviewed, you know, after the winning the Super Bowl. And what was so amazing was they gave glory to God first. And I just love that. I don't know how other sports are as much. You know, I see in baseball, sometimes the batter would make the sign of the cross between each pitch while they're in the batter's box there, right? I mean, ready to, you know, to bat. Versus basketball, I don't, you know, I haven't watched that in a while, but, you know, maybe to make the sign of the cross before a free throw or something like that. But what I just love about football, the men there, these athletes, they know they're on the world stage, especially for the Super Bowl, and they give glory to God, you know. And I just really admire that. You know, I can't speak about their, you know, personal lives. That's a different story. But as far as on that stage, at least being thankful and knowing that all the blessings that they had, that God provided for it, for their Super Bowl win, for our second Super Bowl win since the 2018 Super Bowl. So we thank God Almighty for giving the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, another championship here. And so there's a lot of good things happening, a lot of excitement. We are in the ordinary jubilee of the holy year of hope. And so this gives us hope here in Philadelphia, hope also in the United States, hope in the world, you know, that things are going to change for the good. And, you know, there's this quote that I like to share from a famous author. He's the one that wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, but also the, you know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. His name is C.S. Lewis, and he was a Christian apologist. And from what I understand, on his deathbed, he might have had a deathbed conversion to the Catholic faith. But here's a quote that I love sharing, and because it gives hope, and it ties in with this ordinary jubilee in the holy year for this 2025. And here's the quote. It says, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." Let me say this beautiful quote again. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Now, isn't that a beautiful, you know, profound quote from a famous author, one of the best apologists, Christian apologists of the 20th century, who says that we can start where we are and change our ending. So no matter where you are, whether you're driving in your car, going back from work, you're running errands, going in the car, and you're feeling down in the dumps in this year of hope that for some reason, or maybe you feel left out, that there isn't anyone in your life, that you're not married, you can't find that special someone, that God has a plan for you. This is your year of hope. And I just thank you for joining in that we're going to talk about St. Valentine's Day and also the upcoming reading. So let me get into it as far as St. Valentine's. Now, what I found out that St. Valentine's may actually be one or two different people. And so he's officially known as St. Valentine of Rome, and he existed in the 3rd century, and people celebrated, you know, his feast day on February 4th, and he's known for what we call courtly love. And this is important to know, what's the difference between when a person dates and when a person courts, right? And what we do know is that St. Valentine actually was a physician. And so, you know, I love that since I'm, you know, I'm a medical doctor, I'm a physician. And he was martyred, and so they know about that. And so there's a lot of different legends. And for some reason, since 1969, we don't have him on the Catholic calendar anymore. So if you look on the official Catholic calendar, so whatever you may have from your parish church, you won't see his name there ever since 1969. However, from what I understand, there's still things that were legendary about it, and for some reason they took it off. Not that he didn't exist or didn't get martyred, but for some reason he's not listed there anymore. But we still know him throughout the world, right? He's still celebrated because of this courtly love that he demonstrated. And so he was listed on the Roman Martyrology, the list of all the saints. And, you know, when we look at this Roman martyrology, you know how we just talked about the Philadelphia Eagles and, you know, there was this NFL honors about who was the best coach, the best player, the best, so on and so forth. And, you know, they hope that, you know, there's these Hall of Fame class. Well, you know, essentially being in heaven, being listed as a saint is like heaven's Hall of Fame. That's the Hall of Fame that we want to be in. Whether we are listed particularly as a canonized saint or not, we want to be there. Whereas there's only a few people that get into Canton, Ohio for football, you know, listed. That's like football heaven for them. And so as far as being listed as one of the saints. So going back to here, as far as the St. Valentine's Day, you know, at one point of his life, he was the former bishop of a city named Terni and also a city named Narnia. Remember I mentioned C.S. Lewis writing the Chronicles of Narnia, and also a saint, a city called Amelia. So he was the bishop of three different places, Terni, Narnia, and Amelia. And he was put in house arrest, and, you know, for his faith, and he pledged, you know, that Jesus was truly God, and his faith was put to test. One time there's a story where there was a judge who had a daughter that was blind, and he had a miracle of restoring her sight. And because he succeeded, you know, I think he put his hands on her eyes, and the child's vision was restored. So these are some of the different stories about, you know, St. Valentine's Day. But essentially, he was commanded to renounce his faith, and he didn't. And so he was executed on February 14th in the year 269. And so there's also debate about what year he actually died, whether it's 270, 273. But the point was, is that he did die. And on the day of his execution, he left the girl a note signed, "Your Valentine." So, you know, there was a certain, the story is that the St. Valentine, when he was arrested, he secretly, you know, married couples so husbands wouldn't have to go to war. And so he always had a special love for those who, married couples or those who are dating and being engaged and courting. And so this is how we celebrate St. Valentine's. Anyway, let me just, since I mentioned the difference between dating and courting, I'm no expert in this. I'm just, you know, there's other Catholic couples that talk about this. Crystalina and Jason Ever, for one, that just comes to mind as far as that. But, you know, I have given talks there as one of the speakers when Janet Benkovic and her husband came to Malvern. I was asked to be to speak on marriage. Well, because, you know, my wife and I will be married this coming, June, so 37 years. And, you know, it goes faster than you think. And the thing is, we actually did get engaged on February 14th. So I'll get into that story, but let me just tell you, from what I understand, that I even, advise my own daughters and my own sons about what the difference of dating and courtship is. And one is, well, as far as courtship, the way I put it for them and give advice to different young adults who ask for some spiritual coaching, is that courtship is when you're ready to be married, and that you can get married. You're ready. Like, the guy is already able to be independent and to live on his own and to be able to support a wife and children. Because, you know, the goal of marriage is not only to find that spouse and lead that person to heaven, but also to be open to having children. And when if given that blessing, that couple should be able to raise those children Catholic faith and bring them to heaven. So the goal is, you know, to love one another and bring the person's spouse and their children to heaven as a married couple and to have a family. And so if a person isn't able to be independent and support themselves and mature enough, ready to start a family, then they really shouldn't be pursuing a person if they don't fulfill some of these, you know, criteria, if you will. Because you think about it in a normal sense, like if a person wants to get into from college to graduate school, you know, like I went to medical school and I went to also graduate school for to get an MBA at here locally at the Wharton School of Business, that you have to fulfill certain criteria, right? You have to get a certain grade, certain entrance exam grades. You have to do interviews, recommendations, statements, and so forth. And if you don't really fulfill that, you really, you know, if you don't have that type of predilection or talent inherent in you, then you really shouldn't be looking into that. So the same thing with a person who is really can't control themselves, you know, as far as being, you know, chased. If they have a problem with being with one person, let's say they're dating and they date, and it gets to be, well, you know, dating, you know, in my opinion, is when you're looking to find that person who can be your lifelong friend, but you're not necessarily, or just a very close friend, but not necessarily marriage, because the way I distinguish it is courtship is where you're deeming that other person to be your spouse in the future. You're pursuing that. Whereas dating, you're not looking at that yet. You're just trying to see is, well, you know, I'm attracted to this person is handsome or beautiful, and that person, can I even be their friend? Or is it just purely based on attraction? Because if it's based totally on attraction, then how do you know it's real love, right? Because we know, again, in the theme of St. Valentine's Day, you know, he is the saint of courtly love. And here we are in the city of brotherly love. And you know that sculpture that we have where the L-O-V-E, that love square, you know, love in all four corners of the earth. We have love in this city. And so what we want to make sure is, do we love that person? When you start to date a person, are you developing first a friendship? That do you have things in common with this person, that person can be your best friend? Or does it just escalate to emotions and romantic, you know, advances? And then the emotions and the romance gets all jumbled and blinds the person in their mind, in their heart, in their will, in their intellect, from really discovering, well, is this the person meant for me to be my spouse, you know, for sickness and in health, you know, through rich or poor, till death do us part. I think I might have missed, you know, one of the other sayings of that vow, but my point is, excuse me, that the dating, you know, there gets to be, from what I experienced, if a person is a serial dater, I'm not talking about cereal like Cheerios or cornflakes. I mean, like dating one after another, where they see somebody, they get involved, and then they break up. They go steady with the person, or their boyfriend, the girlfriend, for, and then they break up for one other reason, and they keep doing this. It makes me wonder. Again, I'm no expert in relationships. I just know that our marriage that I have right now with my beautiful wife for 37 years coming up in this June has had the thick and thin of everything, very much pushed into a concentrated time period that we had to grow up pretty fast after getting married, you know, right out of college, you know, me in medical college and my wife from college. And so she was just 21, you know, when we got married, and everybody thought we would never make it, you know, that way, and especially interracially. But anyway, going back with the dating, for serial dating, my point was, if a person gets used to serial dating in the sense that you have a relationship for whatever, a month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever it may be, and then you break up and then you do it again, maybe it lasts longer, 6 months, a year, then break up again, and then maybe, you know, it just keeps on going, to the point where, let's say it's five times, six times, you date, you break up, you date, you break up, you date, you break up. Well, and then finally they meet somebody else, and then this is the one. Well, how do you know? Because that person was just used to dating and then breaking up. So how do you know that's just the marriage is not going to be, it's just misnamed as a marriage when it was that person just treating it like a date, and they're just going to end up breaking each other's heart by getting a divorce. So, you know, this is the things that I see also by giving a lot of spiritual advice, you know, spiritual coaching. And again, from my experience in being in the exorcism ministry, again, officially part of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. You know, I'm not doing that right now, but from 2018, you know, I've had my experience, you know, giving spiritual advice to people and seeing just what happens in relationship. And then just outside of that, you know, different people asking for advice from me giving talks, you know, at Malvern or local parishes, or regionally or nationally, you know, I'll get people to ask for advice for, you know, quite a few times. And, you know, there's been young couples that I've helped, that three of them, you know, I advise, and they're married and they have children. And there are two others that, that I'm advising, concurrently. And so, you know, there's some, I don't know if I would call it expertise. I would just say there was some experience that I've had, and I come from a different, you know, vantage point to where I can say, well, you know, look at my wife and I, we've had a certain amount of success, you know, after 37 years, excuse me. And so what I also wanted to say too was, you know, there's a advice that I remember hearing. I don't know if it was from Scott Hahn and his wife, Kimberly, or if it was from Kristalina Everett and Jason Everett. So look them up, but I think was there was that if a person is dating, they should pretty much see if this person can potentially be somebody that they can court or be allowed to court. And this should take literally a month to 3 months, at the most like 6 months, is from what I hear from these different people. Now, I don't want to misquote if it was from Scott Hahn and his wife, Kimberly, or the Everts, but I thought it was. But you can look that up, or whatever marriage experts you want to find, that, you know, you know, that if there is a certain amount of intuition that you would have, like this person, you know, aside from the fact of their looks or their physical attributes, like what really counts is their character. Right. When it all comes down to it, when you look at their character, is there something that you can really live with? And, you know, because what you see will most likely be the best of what they can project or to demonstrate to you. Usually a person doesn't want to show their worst side. That usually happens if a person gets in an argument. Right. Not when you're trying to date somebody and have a good time and go out, you know, eating out or to a movie or a concert or some event. And so what you see is only, you know, the tip of the iceberg, but there are different, you know, key points that really stick out to see, well, what's under that iceberg if a person actually reveals their true self. Anyway, there's a lot more for me to talk about regarding this. I didn't know I was going to ramble on regarding relationships. But I think I'll stick with this for a little bit, and I will go and talk about this more. So let's take a break, and I hope all you listeners out there will still remain tuned in as we continue with Signed, Sealed, Delivered here. And so let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father, where I try to give life's perspective through Catholic lens from science, faith, and spiritual health, and now on even personal relationships. So thank you for tuning back in here on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns. Also, if there's anyone out there that would like to sponsor this show, to please call in to In His Sign and let them know, because these shows don't come for free, you know, for them to produce and to air on WTMR 800 AM. So we need your financial support and to be able to continue. So please, in the generosity of your heart, if you have any ability to donate even a small amount, whether it's $5, $10, $20, you know, a month, to do so, and it will all accumulate to help us be able to sponsor these shows that come on this really great network from Kathleen McCarthy on In His Sign Catholic Radio. All right, so I was talking about relationships, a St. Valentine's Day, the difference between courting and dating, and I wanted to tie it in with the readings from this coming Sunday's gospel, but also, you know, I was talking about personally, you know, how many years married I was, I am, and, you know, that my wife and I would got engaged on Valentine's Day. And I wanted to share a little bit too, just that, you know, how do you know that that person is the right person for you? And I was just starting getting into it before we had the break about the iceberg, you know, analogy, that when a person talks to you, when you're learning more about a person, well, can you be even friends? Can you be even best of friends? Those are great signs. Because if all a relationship is based on sexuality, on one's physical attraction, and or to see how far a person can get with one another romantically, then that's really lust. You know, it's really not love. You may call it love, but it's really not based in true Christian Catholic love, where you see and you want to the best for the other. So one definition is, you know, to will the best for the other, even though it may hurt a person. So in other words, if a person sees that person is not the best partner in life for them, then they would gladly bow out, even though it hurts both parties. That you can see that, you know what, I'm not worthy or up to par or in your league, that the person realizes that, or, you know, I can't support my own self, you know, nonetheless support, you know, you, or to even start a family, then why even go through with a courtship? It's like trying to go to a car dealership and being really enraptured by the beauty of the car, the power of the car, the technological advances, and you know, the salesman is like thinking like, oh wow, you're really interested in buying this, but he finds out you have no job, well, and you have no savings, and why are you in the car dealership to begin with when you can't buy one? Now, I'm not trying to put down, you know, a spouse, a potential spouse, as a car. I'm just giving, you know, an analogy. It's a very faulty analogy. It's very materialistic. People are not cars. Well, the same, just like with a house. Why would a person be going looking for, you know, house shopping, you know, trying to go to a new home where they're building, and you're talking to the salespeople and looking at the tracks of the neighborhood, and to try to see, oh, is that lot available, and you know, which kind of a house, which kind of plan are you looking for? Why even go in there if you have no job and you have no savings when you can't even afford it? It's like fooling everybody. And so the same thing is, well, should you even be dating? Well, you know, there could be, because remember, the way I look at it is you're looking to see if you can be a friend. And if that person is suited to be your friend, because you can tell a person by the friends they keep, right? So if you hang around with people who really don't live a life, you know, that's upright, then the chances are it's going to rub off whatever those friends are with you. And so, again, this comes from the experience of just doing a lot of spiritual fitness coaching. That's a term that I made up specifically because I'm a physician and that I help with spiritual warfare, helping people fight the good fight against the bad spirits and bringing them to the Catholic Church and to Jesus Christ and his sacraments. And so going back to, you know, the tip of the iceberg, where you can sometimes tell that, like, for instance, in my particular situation, I was dating, you know, a very beautiful Filipina girl and who is smart. And, you know, I had this idea that I was supposed to, you know, marry a Filipina, because everybody in my family essentially married a Filipino, except, you know, one of my sisters. And so I thought, well, that's what, you know, my parents are both, you know, Filipino. So I thought, well, maybe I should. But, you know, I was totally wrong in that. And many times people make a mistake by their first love because it's something new and they get so enthralled and overjoyed with it. And they think that first one is the one. And you can see different things where I just remember personally that there were just too many arguments. And it was really dumb things, you know, and we were friends. I don't know if we would call best friends, but the point was I had a really good spiritual director, and the spiritual director happened to be the priest, or he was a Monsignor at this time, who was the one specifically given the credit for converting him. And that was Scott Hahn. Scott Hahn had converted to the Catholic faith. And he credited Monsignor Fabian Bruskwitz in Milwaukee. And so when I was in medical school in Milwaukee, I would also get spiritual direction the same days that Scott Hahn. We finally crossed paths and where he gave me and my fiance Liz at the time, which you call pre-canal. We had private pre-canal lessons from a Scott Hahn, and where I learned some of the pearls of wisdom from Scott Hahn as an engaged couple and also marriage, and it bore fruit. My point was, when I was getting spiritual direction with Monsignor Bruskwitz, he gave me words of advice that to this day I use and advise people, and I wanted to share with you all here. And the advice was, when I said that this first relationship was, you know, I there was this argument that would just happen, and I didn't like it. And he said to me, he said, well, you know, when you know, this is the best it's going to get. Do you realize that? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, usually when you get married and you pass the honeymoon phase, you know, things, it's like the masks come off. You know, you start seeing the what's behind the person. And so if you're able, if you don't mind, you know, tolerating, I don't think he used the word, if you don't mind all these arguments happening, it's just going to get worse when you get married, you know, because then now you have, you know, living together on your own, and children may come or they may not come depending on how you're blessed, and then the job and all these different things. And he said, if you're okay with that, if you really are fine with that, you know, then go ahead. And then in my mind, I said, there's no way. But the thing that I forgot to preface was that he also said, does this person lead you closer to God or not? And it was very clear that, you know, it was an unequal yoke. In other words, I had this faith that was much stronger than hers. Hers was more cultural, and it wasn't as deep. And so I always felt I was dragging her along as far as understanding the faith. We weren't equally yoked, as the term goes. And so those two words of advice, he said to me, is she bringing you closer to God? And I said, no, it's like, you know, it's like she's lagging way behind, and it's really not, you know, I mean, you know, that's then. I don't know how she is now. But my point was, and the other thing was, this is the best it's going to get. Are you okay with that? You know, I said, and to both counts, it was no. And so my biggest advice, I'd say, here we are on the eve of Valentine's Day. Like some of you, I don't know if you're listening on the radio thing, hey, I'm going to pop the big question tomorrow, you know, or what have you, you know, that think about it. Is this person leading you closer or further away from God? If it is, if it's all based on sexuality, if it's based on lust, which you may think it's love, then this actually, this relationship may be a curse to you. Now, let me back that up here with the scripture. So I'm going to turn now to the scripture here. So nevertheless, to say that, you know, I did end that relationship, and that led me, thanks be to God, to my next relationship, and which was the one for me. And that would be Liz. You know, here we are 37 years later. And part of the scripture that I wanted to share here, this was actually from today, and it's from Genesis chapter 2. And I'll quickly summarize it. It's where Adam was said his first words ever in scripture. When we read Genesis 1 and then we read Genesis 2, Adam didn't say anything. Nothing came out of his mouth until God presented his wife to be. And this is what he first said when God, the Lord God, cast down Adam to sleep. So in one sense, God was the first anesthesiologist. Now, I say that because I used to practice anesthesia. Anyway, so when he was asleep, God took out one of Adam's rib and he closed it up with his flesh. And the Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. And when he brought her to the man said, now this is the part where Adam has his first words. Just like when a person dies, his last words are so important. Here we have to understand, what is man, the first man? What was his first words? Well, it was inspired by seeing a woman who came from him. And this is what he said. He said, this one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man, this one has been taken. Now, notice I said and emphasized the word this one, and it happened three times that he said this one three times. And why I mentioned that was because when I met my wife, it was love at first sight. And essentially, when I saw her, the Blessed Mother indicated to me, it was in a chapel in Marquette campus called the St. Joan of Arc Chapel. It was the original chapel of St. Joan of Arc that was transferred brick by brick from France through New York to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I was there, and I had this locution from the Blessed Virgin Mary telling me, I recognized her voice right away, it was hers, no doubt, telling me that there she is, that this young woman is to be my wife. And so it was just something that I just knew when I just shared in my heart that, you know, I broke up with this other woman, and I'm really trying to find what my life's journey, my life's vocation is supposed to be. And I poured my heart out and asking the Lord for help And he told his mother to intervene and tell me specifically that this one, or there she is, this was the one, because I laid in my heart to her crying that I knew I wanted to be a priest. I said, I'm opening to be, you know, a brother or a consecrated virgin. But I said, you know, in my heart, I want to be married. And that's when she pointed out who I was supposed to marry. And so this scripture verse is the one that helped me understand the locution to be true. What the message I'm trying to say is for all you listeners, whether you're married already or your grandparents, and just think, or you're thinking of, there might be somebody young listening to this, or somebody that's dating or courting, or thinking of getting engaged tomorrow, like what me and Liz ended up being engaged, you know, 37 years ago. The point is here is, if you want to know who your spouse is supposed to be, then hear the words of God himself in scripture. Like, look at this verse here. It's coming from today's readings on February 13th. So go to usccb.org and look under today's readings. Comes from, or just open your Bible, Genesis chapter 2, okay, verses 18 to 25. And one way to remember that is, you know, during the year when a person's 18 to 25 years old, you know, Genesis 2, who's that second person that's supposed to be your spouse, to be your mate, to be your partner in life, to be married? And many times you find that person in the ages of 18 to 25. And so this is just a funny or simple way of remembering that Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 25 is where you can find that, that the one that will move your heart is the one that God himself will bring to you. Okay. And so you can do novenas, you can do prayers, but don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. In other words, I know somebody personally that, you know, did a novena and then thought that after the end of the novena, that just because that person came and introduced himself and happened to be called Christian, that person was the one for them. But it turned out to be a horrible, you know, choice, a horrible discernment. And so the way to make sure you're discerning properly and clearly is to first make sure your conscience is clear, so you can get the signal from our Lord and our Lady or your guardian angel. You need to have the spiritual signal to be transmitted clearly to your heart, mind, body, and soul. And you don't want it cursed by mortal sin, such as sexual sin. And so this is where we go into the readings, I'm going to go right to the gospel readings for this coming Sunday. And what's so interesting about this is, you know, it comes from the Gospel of Luke, and, you know, he is a physician. He wasn't one of the apostles, but he was a physician. And so he writes here, you know, about blessings and curses. Essentially, you know, the woes are the curses. The opposite of a blessing is a curse, and the opposite of a curse is a blessing. And so, you know, when you know, I was helping officially in the exorcist ministry, when a person is cursed in one way or another, whether they get, you know, swallowed something at a restaurant eating there and they didn't know the food or drink was cursed, or they were given a gift that was cursed, or they brought something from a garage sale or an antique place or somewhere, a yard sale, and that item was cursed, or they made some vows or promises, or they got themselves into some sort of new age or, dealings, or got into, you know, certain drugs, sex, and alcohol and immoral practices. They essentially got a curse. And so the way to get it reversed is to have a blessing. And the way to get the best blessings, of course, is the sacraments. So when we go into Luke, here it says, let me turn right to it. It says that it's from Luke chapter 6, And it says that Jesus came down with the 12 and he stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal regions of Tyre and Sidon were there. And raising his eyes towards his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when you all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated their false prophets in this way." And so the key thing here is the typical markings of somebody who was blessed is that they had health, they had wealth, they had prosperity and power. So he said the Jews would think about, hey, yeah, that guy's rich and look, he's really healthy, he's built or he's buff or she's beautiful. Oh, they've got a lot of prosperity and they have power. They, you know, they have pride of place. All this. Well, the way that it's written here is actually those are the ones who are doomed to woe. What society, the Jewish society, thought, well, those people who are healthy, wealthy, and worldly wise and have this prosperity and power and privilege were actually are the ones who are doomed to woe. And the typical markings of somebody who was cursed was, well, oh, that person's sick and they're in poverty and look at they're humiliated and they're weak. They must not have God on their side. Well, Jesus turns this upside down. So those are actually the signs of happiness and rejoicing. Now, let me share something with you. What I've learned through my experience in spiritual warfare, in helping others, how to fight. In other words, spiritually, because many people take, gym classes, the fitness classes or martial arts, and they try to know how to fight physically, or they may learn how to shoot weapons, but they know nothing about defending their spirit. That leaves the devil making those people like sitting ducks to the devil, because they either don't believe in the devil, they don't believe in hell, they don't believe in sin. And those three things, not believing in him, the devil, hell, and sin, leaves them as sitting ducks to be just shot down, and they're going to be dragged to hell, and they won't even know how to defend themselves. And so my point is here, the way to defend yourself is to go back to Holy Mother Church, to go and receive the sacraments of confession and communion. Then the Lord will bless you. So you'll see some of these people here, not to name any celebrities, athletes, singers, and so forth, but they're getting their riches and their fill now, because they won't make it to heaven according to different spiritual writers. So God, in his love and mercy, is letting them have a piece of heaven right now, because they won't have true heaven in the future. They traded in pleasure and happiness, so-called happiness here, for eternal pleasure and eternal happiness. So this is why for those of us who are poor now, those who are hungry, weeping, those who are hated, those who are put down, this is where God himself will raise up and give us hope. Remember, this is the ordinary jubilee of hope. He's giving us hope that we are the ones that he is favoring. He will lift up the poor, the weak, the isolated, the widow, the orphans, all those who are unemployed, those who are disabled, those who feel they're not loved, those who are anxious, depressed, those who feel lonely and they feel like they have nothing left in life. They're hanging on a thread. It is you that the Lord loves and is pouring out literally his heart and soul, his blood and sweat and tears for you. He wants you and loves you. And on this vigil of the St. Valentine's Day, he's showing you that he is the one we go to. He's the consoler, the lover that we are all looking for. Just like that song that says, we're looking in love in all the wrong places. We're looking in love in all the wrong faces. What people are really doing is they're searching for the wrong person and the wrong place and the wrong thing when we have them in the Catholic Church, in Jesus Christ, the church that he founded, and he's right there in the Eucharist. The Eucharist is his kiss to your lips and your tongue. His confession, the sacrament of confession, is his heavenly embrace for you to bear all your soul and to get the baggage, the monkey off your back, and that where he can embrace you with his love and let you cry on his shoulders. Go back to the church. If you're already in church, already part of the Catholic Church, increase your faith by praying more. Read scriptures. Go to Bible study. Continue to listen to all the good people here on WTMR 800 AM and Inside Catholic Radio. We love you. We want all of you to go to heaven. And if God allows you to be married, then that is a blessing. But for all of those he deems that you should remain single, then you are the ones called to build up his church in a very special way, because now you are able to 100% dedicate your life to God and his church and not split it up between church and one spouse, as good as that is. Remember in heaven that there is no such thing as marriage there. There is. So those who are single or those who purposely volunteer to be consecrated to the Lord, whether they were unchaste, but they started all over again. Just like I said in that quote from C.S. Lewis, that you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Well, some of those who lost their virginity, they can start right now and being chaste and offering their life to the Lord. And this is how you will be blessed and not cursed. If you find yourself having things go bad in your life, just ask yourself, are you doing anything that eats your conscience? If it's hard for you to sleep or to breathe, or your blood pressure is high, your stomach is hurt, maybe there's something eating away at your conscience and you really need to let it out in confession. Not to psychiatrists and psychologists, as good as they may be. They can't forgive your sins. But through our Lord Jesus Christ giving the power to his priest, you can get your sins forgiven, your conscience clear, and you can be relieved from the baggage and that heartache that you have. And God can then set you free and give you your heart's desires, because he is the one who created you, and he wants you to be happy. It's his face that you see. It's his place that you need, and it's his sacraments that we have available to us. God bless you. We're out of time tonight. I hope you enjoy this program on WTMR 800 AM, where the master reigns. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo signing off on Signed, Sealed, Delivered on In His Sign Catholic Radio. God bless all of you. Thank you.